Welcome everyone to another week of the Business of Sport. My name is Ahmed Al-Houli, your host, and my co-host, as he is every single week, Mr. Rob Yao. Rob, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
All gravy down here, buddy. What a week it's been. Lots has happened since we last jumped on the pod. We've seen the debut of Leo Messi, Lionel Messi, who some call the GOAT. We've seen him play two games and absolutely light the stands on fire. What a player this guy is. He has absolutely brought the magic with him. And he's all the rave and all the news, even though there's a Women's World Cup happening.
Well, a player of his stature performing maybe as expected, but I think for some people, he has been just spectacular, and really has dominated the sports news cycle for sure. And part of that, he's doing it in real time here in the Women's World Cup. You know, the women just played their second game yesterday, so obviously. Leo has delivered a game-winning free kick on his opening match in stoppage time, and then a brace against Miami or for Miami against Atlanta, and an assist in a 4-0 win over Atlanta. So he has played two matches in MLS. And scored three goals, and I saw some graphic that it took him over 700 minutes to score two goals in his Barcelona debut, and he's done it did it less than 50 some minutes in MLS. So he's still at top form. He's got a fantastic group of players that are out on the pitch with him right now that are playing at a high level, and I think they're just. He's raised the level of what we're seeing and on the pitch right now, and it's been fun to watch. And obviously I'm representing tonight, given that our client is on the front of the jersey, and they've been getting some massive exposure during this these two League Cup matches.
Absolutely, man. Let's go through some numbers actually. In his debut game, it was reported by Zumpf that his game-winning goal generated 214.3 million views, 15.1 million engagements, $21.4 million in social value. Well, your client's XBTO got an absolute bargain.
It's a pretty good return on the investment they've made on the front of this kit over the past three seasons, and look, it takes magical moments to get numbers like that, and Lionel Messi's been providing magical moments for his entire career, and so for him to come out in his debut, get that opportunity on a free kick. Bend it like Beckham in the upper nine, like he always does, and to be a game winner with in stoppage time was pretty surreal, pretty incredible. And as I think I made the comment, I thought the Hollywood script writers were on strike. Apparently, they left one script behind for that opening night.
It definitely felt like he was scripted. In his second game, he kicked two goals against Atlanta, and his second goal, it's reported that it was viewed over 3.4 billion times. I mean, what is going on? Again, another bargain for XBCO, killing it.
The world is tuning in to Lionel Messi. Now, the winners of this are not just Inter Miami and those partners associated with the club, but MLS is getting these eyeballs. Apple TV is generating new subscribers. our young soccer players in this country that would have to, figure out, international time zones when they could get up and watch, Messi play with PSG or Barcelona are now watching him, many of them in person. A lot of those young kids in Miami are going to these games and they're seeing the greatest player of their lifetime playing in front of them. We get that for football or basketball, but soccer we don't normally get that, and we're getting that right now with Messi. I mean, he is hitting on all cylinders. Serge Busquets is playing equally as brilliant. From his defending midfielder position, he is as smooth as they come. His vision on the field, he set up several of those goals that Messi scored and assisted on with just passes that you haven't seen a defensive midfielder in MLS even think of making. And he's making them, he's still in preseason form and he's making those passes. So there's a lot of things clicking. The world is tuning in. Obviously there was a lot of expectation around this and the players delivering. Right now, I mean, this would be a lot different story and us having a lot different conversation if we're two games in and Inter Miami has lost two League Cup matches and Lionel Messi has got one shot on goal and hasn't scored. Different conversation, but goats are goats and they tend to set high standards.
Yeah, and the MLS as a league has been trending everywhere. Like on Google, it's flying. It's never trended this much in its existence. So most definitely they have won here. An amazing investment by them. What an initiative to buy David Beckham and his team, as well as Don Garber and his team. It truly is a spectacular move. There wasn't the oil money thrown at Messi. It was just strategic thinking and negotiating. Because to have someone of his caliber, he's only 35 years old still. He's still got a fair bit in him.
Yeah,
it really is a master. How can I say this? If you ever want to learn how to negotiate a deal, get Don Garber and David Beckham to sit down with you and take you through the way they did this this Messi deal. It should become a case study.
Well, Beckham having been the guinea pig for this, almost over 15 years ago when he came over with the LA Galaxy and got his franchise for $25 million, which is now the Inter Miami CF. Again, a footballer of his caliber being able to communicate with Lionel Messi and to be able then to have partners like Apple and Adidas, who was already aligned with Messi, but Apple to come over and say, we've just made this 10-year, $2.5 billion investment in this league. And, there's one thing that will make this a slam dunk, and that's if Messi shows up. So what do we got to do to get him here? They sat in the room and said, we've got this subscription thing. We want to see it go. How about we just, you come play in this league, we'll cut you in. I mean, imagine, Joe Burrow going into his negotiations, this season and sitting down with the league and the league saying, we really want you to stay in the league. We'll cut you in on our TV deal, or our Red Zone subscriptions or whatever, our Amazon Prime sits down with you and says, hey, we want you to be part of a subscription share on our Thursday night package. I mean, that hasn't been done in any other sport. And you have to have certainly a level of clout in order to even have that conversation hatched, from a corporate standpoint. But, to be sitting in a negotiation knowing what he had financially on the table in Saudi Arabia to be able to go, I want this and I want to do that. And these are the reasons that, I would come to MLS and, And at the end of the day, I mean, it was kind of a perfect storm. It, you know, everything kind of came together timing-wise. And Barcelona still a little bit financially strapped. You know, the situation there, you know, had not improved enough to where him going there was going to be, you know, financially comfortable for the club, because they were going to have to make some moves and probably cost some talent. MLS found a way. You know, Inter Miami found a way to not only get him, but to get, you know, a couple of close buddies of his, with Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets coming over, you know, signing. And then, you know, potentially, you know, during his tenure, you know, seeing players like Ramos, Iniesta, and Suarez, you know, in conversation to find their way to South Beach is going to be
Ramos is a big one, actually.
Yeah. I mean, strategic players, you know, that will fit very well in this system. And, you know, look, Messi is fantastic. But if you've watched the last two games, Busquets has been just masterclass on the field in his back half.
100%. He's been the one that's setting it all up. Awesome. You mentioned the MLS deal. They've had some recent success. I mean, so just for some background, for those that, you know, don't know too much about what's happened with the MLS and Apple deal. So pretty much Apple is the broadcaster of the MLS moving forward for the next 10 years, $250 million a year, so on, so on. What's happened now is Messi's come in and he's put the subscription link for the MLS season pass in his bio. It's got 460 million people on Instagram. And their numbers have just exploded. They've just passed a million MLS season passes, which is a big deal, because this has never been achieved before by them. So I think this investment they're starting to see the fruits of this investment. Now, we covered a few weeks ago about them adding all these different reporters,
cameras,
broadcast technologies in general, and we didn't quite like it. Didn't at the time we knew it was needed to pretty much broadcast a league, but we didn't quite understand what's really going on. Now, here we are today. Messi's come through. Their production's got to be top notch. It's been okay so far. Hasn't crashed. Nothing, which is good. And I could just imagine what's happening now with all this off-field content that's going to be created moving forward, and that's going to bring a ton of eyeballs. So it's been a real win, in my opinion, so far. And I think as the season moves into gear, and you know, and fans start to hear more and more about Messi, because if he keeps playing the way he is, he's going to be making headlines every week.
Yeah.
So yeah, people are going to have to tune in, and where can they tune in other than, you know, Apple TV?
Yeah, the occasional Fox broadcast, but Apple TV pretty much, and more importantly, you know, there's a story here. Not that Lionel Messi's playing, that's obvious, but Inter Miami's in last place in the standings in the East. Yeah. The games that we're watching right now are part of League Cup, not part of MLS play. So Inter Miami is still sitting in dead last. If they were in another league in another part of the world, they'd be on relegation line, right? And here we are, you know, watching Miami. Looks like a totally different club. They're playing at a whole new different level. I mean, everybody has just, you know, matched the fact that they're on the field with, you know, probably the greatest player of their time. And now it's going to be, you know, we'll see if they can make this magical run to the playoffs and maybe ultimately to an Anschutz Cup at the end of the day. But it's a crazy storyline, something that's going to draw the eyeballs. You know, I think Apple had projected, you know, somewhere around, you know, 650 to 700,000 subscriptions. It was kind of their what they would hope they would get to by the end of the season. And you just mentioned they've topped a million already. You know, they're playing with house money. You know, obviously we saw the
Is that all they projected?
Well, their goal, they felt that 700,000 subscribers for this year would be a great start, you know, for this, you know, this partnership. You know, Messi is just, you know, as with anything, it's just changed the narrative. Now you've got, we saw in the highlight of his first goal on the free kick, what did we have? 16 different camera angles of that shot.
Yeah. It was.
If Messi wasn't kicking that, you got three cameras, one behind the goal, you got one on the sideline, and one maybe from the back end.
Spotter.
But you know, you had every angle. You had several handheld shots from La Familia, you know, in the back of the net, you know, as it came to him. So, the world is watching, and when that happens, I mean, really, everything's on display, and the theater of a man with all that pressure, all those expectations, all those celebrities that showed up with their kids, you know, that night to see him debut, and then for him to do that, you know, just
who was there that the so-called biggest stars in the world were there to watch the king?
Yeah, well, you had LeBron, you had Kim Kardashian, you've had
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled was there this last game. Puff Daddy was there. You know, you've got all kinds of.
The list goes on, as they say.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's South Beach, you know. They're there.
Sure.
You've got a who's who of folks there. The great picture of David Beckham just sitting there, just taking it all in, watching him getting ready to take
the game. He got teary.
Oh, yeah. He got all teary when he scored the goal. But just him taking the field, you know, just that, the footballer in him didn't need to pull out his phone and record anything. He just felt that whole moment just washed over him. And then obviously the goal, you know, it's just like, he's like, as he said, he goes, as soon as he saw it, he's like, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, here we go, 92nd minute, you know, good 26, you know, meters out, you know, free kick, perfectly positioned to curl in with the left foot. Money shot, you know.
Have we heard anything from the sponsorship standpoint? Any new interest? Are brands fighting to make their way in? Is the interest steady? What's the goss there?
Well, I mean, obviously there is a new stadium coming down the line with this club. There's a lot of new interest. And being all things Inter Miami, all things pink, as they say, obviously there's you know, renewal discussions on whether you know who's staying on the kit. They've got a new sleeve partner, the Fract Group, that is on the sleeve. But look, I anticipate there's some very active and fruitful conversations going on. I mean, naturally, it's gravitational pull right now, the world is watching this club, and I'm sure they're having some very significant conversations about, you know, brand partnerships. Obviously, they've got a great relationship with with Auto Nation, you know, as the naming rights partner of their current park and on their, you know, their practice and training kit. You know, they've got the, you know, obviously our client is still very active, you know, as the kit partner right now. So lots going on in that market, and I would imagine we might see a few announcements here in the near future of new partners, or maybe even some renewals. I think there's some renewals that are trying to get across the finish line before Messi starts scoring too many more goals.
So in terms of renewals, how much do you think the increase would be now compared to what they had?
What was that?
In terms of renewals, brands that want to renew, right? What are we looking at in terms of percentage of increase?
Oh, well, I mean, it depends on where they are in their deal, right? If someone's up for renewal right now, you know, you're talking about probably one more year in the current building, and then another year potentially in the end of the new building, and then that's the end of Messi's cycle. You know, so I would imagine that the club is trying to leverage right now any renewal deal, you know, at a 3-year minimum. You know, so you've got 2 years in Messi and a year after, so that you don't have this this drop off, much like what the Cleveland Cavaliers did when LeBron second time around. They made everybody re-up for 3 years, and then he went to L.A. So there's a lot of courtside seats sold, thinking they were watching LeBron for 3 more years, and he was in L.A. So, I would imagine you're probably seeing a nice, you know, 15-20%, you know, increase across the board. But what you're also seeing is, I think you're seeing. That we're not looking at 1 or 2 year extensions that sync up with Messi. I think you're looking at ones that are going to sync up with not only beyond his current agreement, but into what will be into the new stadium, at least the first year in.
Makes heaps of sense, actually. All right, interesting. We're staying in the world of football. Another big drama that pretty much occurred as well. Well, it's been happening concurrently, actually, in the last week, is Kylian Mbappe and PSV Eindhoven are at odds. Like, they're pretty much at war. Not Eindhoven, sorry, PSV.
Yeah.
PSG, sorry. Yeah. Not PSV.
Yeah.
Brain fade. Anyway, so what we have here is we have a situation where last year Mbappe was given everything. The club gave in to his demands. They gave him control over decision-making for who, the coach, the team, the players. And quite frankly, like, he reached a level where the Emir of Qatar was speaking to Macron, the president, and trying to, you know, keep Mbappe in Paris. And when we look at how that's played out, it's been a bit of a disaster, really, because PSG fell short in the Champions League, which is what they've been trying to win for a long time. They lost Messi. They're going to lose, apparently, Neymar wants to go. They've lost a few more. They're losing Ramos. They're losing, like, they're losing a few big names. And now you have the guy, and they had a perfectly good coach as well in Pochettino that they let go of as well. And now this guy wants to go. And there's a lot of reports and talks and saying that many European clubs believe he's already got a deal done with Madrid for 2024. So they're pretty much threatening and saying to him, we're going to make you sit out the whole year. He has to get sold before August 10th.
Right.
Or some date around that. Otherwise, this is going to be like a huge loss for PSG if he goes away for free at the end of the next season, which he can because his contract finishes. So what we're seeing here is what we believe is nobody's ever bigger than the club. The club's always the biggest. PSG broke that rule, and I think they're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
700 million from the Saudis.
Yeah.
I mean, for 1 year. And he said no.
He said no.
So what's your take on this?
Well, I think it goes back to you know what you said there. I mean, at the end of the day, they had they kind of went all in to try to win Champions League. You know, certainly at least get to the Final Four, and bowed out, you know, early, did not achieve that success. And obviously, you know, you mentioned some of the key departures of the club, you know, now are starting to, you know, rear their head. And then when you've got Mbappe, who's under contract through this upcoming season, and he's already planned his departure, doesn't want to sign an extension. They don't want him to play on a lame duck agreement, which you kind of can expect, you know, he'll probably not be playing to his fullest. I mean, he's a professional, he'll play, but you know, he's not selling out for the club, because I think he wants to keep himself healthy. The Saudis enter into the play and put together a $1.1 billion offer for transfer fee and then, you know, payment to the player. They fly a contingent into Paris to meet with him. He won't even meet with them, which is just, you know, flat out rude. And what you have now is a, you know, like you said, a proud club and organization that, you know, won the French league title last year. No coach. Their front three are effectively gone. They're, you know, the center back and their back line's gone. Coach on the sideline's gone. You know, if you're a top player, why would you go there? Well, you know, what's attracting you to go there at this point? It's a dumpster fire. And it's not pretty. So, I mean, you know, you've got, it's one of those cardinal rules is that you've got to keep everybody, keep the egos in check and keep the, don't favor one person over the other. And I mean, they clearly did. I mean, and it's like you said, they are eating from the wrong table right now. And it's, it doesn't look very good for them. It doesn't look good for Mbappe either. Frankly, I mean, if you're Real Madrid, I mean, if I'm Real Madrid, and I do have a deal in place, the last thing I want is to have a guy with that negative of a situation following him into my club. And so, because what you're making very apparent to the guys who will be your future teammates, that you are selfish.
It's all about you.
Yeah. You need to fix wherever you are, play out your agreement, and or go get him, and you know, try to minimize the damage. But if he sits out a year, pouts, says all the things he probably will say in the media about, you know, this is personal and all that kind of stuff, then it becomes just a nightmare for his next club. And I don't know if he's worth that, or any player's worth that kind of negativity at this stage, certainly for what you're paying him.
Absolutely not. And I also read elsewhere in another report that there's some background noise that Real Madrid's going to close the deal with him in this summer transfer, because like what you just explained, this is not good for anyone.
Yeah.
Not for the club selling, not for the club buying, nothing. Because imagine him coming over, as you said, to a team filled with egos already, because they're all stars. I mean, you know, they're always going to clash.
Yeah.
And they're not going to perform. So it's not an ideal situation. It's quite sad, actually, that it's reached this. But let's watch it play out, and wish him all the best.
Yeah, I mean, watch it play out, and if he wants a lesson in how to handle yourself as a professional, maybe he just sit there on the sideline and watch, you know, Modric operate. Because if there's anybody that operates as a professional, he might learn a few things from watching him up close.
He's unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, awesome. Let's move on. LVMH. To sponsor the Paris Games, sponsorship amount, 150 million euros. This is a really interesting one, actually. So let's break it down. So the jewelry brand Chaumet will design the medals for both the Olympics and Paralympics. Malt Hennessy wines and spirit labels will provide their products part of the game's hospitality programs. Sephora becomes a partner of the Olympic Torch Relay with activations for the public along the route. LVMH's fashion brands Louis Vuitton, Dior, and Berluti will all promote the games. LVMH will also directly support individual athletes with swimmer French Leon Marchand landing an endorsement deal. LVMH will also expand its community work to include sports-focused programs. So, those of you that don't know who LVMH is, it's the parent company that owns Louis Vuitton, Dior, and all these larger fashion brands that the world consumes at a very very high pace.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts of such? It's really interesting deals, the way they've incorporated all their brands into the different aspects of the Olympics.
Well, I mean, look, you know, it's, you know, a hometown Olympics, you know, so, you know, obviously, yeah. When you're paying a number like that and you've got multiple brands, it's we've seen this before with Procter and Gamble when they've done, big deals, and you take, you know, some of your product brands, your Gillettes and your and the like, and utilize them into a partnership. They do that with the NFL very, very well. The Olympics is a big property. We've seen Louis Vuitton enter into the travel case for some of the trophies. I think they've got Formula One. They got the Monaco Trophy. They've got the Larry O'Brien Trophy. As a couple of examples, entering into sport. This is one that really allows a company to cleverly activate their lineup, in a home Olympics. Obviously, all of them they make a lot of sense given how they're being utilized. It's fashion. It's, there's travel, there's fragrance and design and all those kinds of things. So, the Olympics is a great canvas for them to showcase as a hometown, a home country brand and brands, but also, continue their support and their involvement in sport from a sponsorship standpoint, and actually takes probably some of the lessons they learned through those relationships with Formula One and the NBA and apply them here. Who wouldn't want a medal, made by, by Louis Vuitton and having, kind of makes it a little bit special. It's a great tie-in. Obviously it's a great number. And when you get to numbers like that and you're dealing with a brand with multiple or a company with multiple brands like that, it lends itself to, the buckets, the marketing budgets from each of those sub brands to activate, into the market utilizing the rights of the five rings it puts your activation team to work and again we get to see some a lot of different brands at play.
Absolutely, it's going to be interesting to see them execute things, and I think it'll create a ton of hype on social media outlets,
yeah.
And I think it'll be a really, really big one for him because those brands
are naturally popular. And Marchand's an ASU swimmer, so he's one of our boys from the desert out here. So pretty proud of him with what he's done. Leading up to the Olympics, just shattered Michael Phelps's last record this past weekend. So,
wow, interesting. All right. Keep going. This one's a big one. ESPN talks with NFL, NBA, and MLB over strategic partnership. Wow. So just a small summary. What's happening here is the ESPN is talking to those three leagues about being strategic investors into their media business. Because what's happened is Bob Iger and their president, Jimmy Pitaro, have met with all three leagues, and they're seriously considering this. Now, what's led to this? I think the falling cable, I think the declining revenues at ESPN, I think the cost per acquisition per subscriber for ESPN Plus, and the bloated, ridiculous broadcasting rights expenses or costs in today's world. The NBA is coming to the end of their league, their deal with ESPN. And from my understanding is that he's come out publicly and said that it's ESPN as a whole could be for sale. But now we're hearing not as a whole, at different aspects of it. So this is your world, of course.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, again, I think you touched on a couple of the trends that are really, key to, that results in a conversation like this. One, you're seeing the total shift of the model, of the subscription model that ESPN for so many years was able to kind of just book it, on households. And now the shift over to a more cost-effective streaming mechanism. And in some cases, the streaming is not just, it's not sports focused anymore. It's just entertainment focused, and people get their sports content, from Twitter, from Instagram, and from TikTok. They get it in nuggets, as opposed to I'm going to sit down and watch something. And the only way they're going to be able to, match rights fees, or at least have significant discussions about rights fees, is that you've seen the layoffs, so they're trying to control some costs. They're trying to you got to be strategic on what type of broadcast package you get. What are the advertisers going to be able to do? But again, if you're not able to, if the numbers don't pencil out to offer the rights fee that the league is asking, then maybe the next best thing is to, if you can't buy the rights, sharing the revenue on the overall deal. Go to them and make them partners, have them, because I think at the end of the day, the NBA and NFL and maybe not the NFL. I mean, I think because the NFL doesn't have the guaranteed contracts like the NBA is, throwing out. But they would be smart and as a to become partners and share in revenue upticks, because the advertising could still be there. It's just that they need to have the content, and the cost of the content may just be massive. And so if you get something that's reasonable, and that's something that you can, put together a guaranteed rights number that the league can feel good with, but then also they've got an upside, much like Apple and MLS have this upside on their subscription model. Then it makes a lot of sense. It puts you both in the position to work harder, work together. Maybe the league office is a little bit more engaged and involved in load management. Hey, I want our players playing more because we're invested more in the revenue. People aren't going to come to games. People aren't going to watch games. Advertisers are going to see numbers go down. And, that hurts us all, kind of thing. So, kind of see if they're willing to put a little skin in the game. But, it's not necessarily a risk as much as it is, hey, we know there's going to be upside on this. So we're willing, if you're willing to have a lower rights fee on the front end, there's a rev share on the backside that not only probably gets you whole, but in the long run probably makes you more money. Then that's a strategic, play that, I think, makes a lot of sense for both league and for ESPN. Obviously, Iger's talked about possibly spinning them off of Disney, just letting them be a sports brand again, not a, Disney as a whole has, suffered a little bit, with their movie launches and stuff. And sometimes, I think of Blockbuster, how successful they were as a standalone company, and then they went underneath one of the studios and just cratered. You know, all of a sudden they didn't anticipate that the movie studios were so focused on just the movie making part of it, they just totally missed the fact that we were going from videotapes and rentals to right to, you know, Netflix and streaming. At least here there's a little bit more awareness, the types of conversations that should be being had or are being had right now. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, with a couple of those league, you know, rights fees coming up, it'll be quite interesting to see, you know, what direction they go. Because Gordon Gekko and, you know, said greed is good, but maybe in this case, you know, it might need to take a backseat and be a little bit more pragmatic.
Do you think, actually, I'll take that one back first. ESPN's one of the only media outlets that still isn't going D2C. A lot of the NFL games are still on their cable networks and not on their streaming networks, whereas in Peacock and all the others have really gone all in on their streaming. I get why, but they're saying that it still doesn't make sense in terms of revenue. Just yet, they're still making enough money from the cable side. Do you think that would also be hurting them?
I think at some point, you're going to see, appointment TV, it was at one point you were trying to TiVo proof everything, and now, you're just trying to get people. You know, sports is still the one live event that people will schedule around to watch and see because they kind of want to see it, and mainly because if you record it and want to watch it without knowing about it, you'll already know about the result by the time you watch it anyway. So, suspense is always gone. So you kind of do have some appointment programming, but what I do think at some point here in the very near future is that the cable component is going to be move over, and we're going to see sports get carved out. And I think sports gets carved out into its own subscription, its own package. We're not going to see a DirecTV bundle package, that has, ESPN's not going to be included in a base package anymore. I think it's going to be, premium, or it's going to be part of a much bigger, or a much more, straight to consumer type of, because I think a lot of people are now, consuming so much more, out of the home. I think it'll be something that would be really interesting to watch. But I think that they're, ESPN is trying like hell to stay, part of these cable packages right now, because they don't know anything else. I think eventually they're going to have to get nimble. They're going to have to, take Plus, take their 30 for 30s, take their Sports Center, take all the other stuff that's made them successful, and go direct to you and me, and if we want it. And here's the question the reason they probably haven't done it is because they still don't have the answer. Is I don't know that I'm going to buy it to watch Sports Center. Only reason I'm going to buy something is going to be to watch live content. I don't need to buy it to watch highlights, because I can go to Twitter, I can go to TikTok and get all the highlights I want. Exactly. The only thing that I'm going to buy, that justifies, my dollar, is going to be the live event itself. So they've got to find a way to, package, those other assets into, their live content. And again, goes to the partnership you know, component of, you know, with a league.
Could this be a conflict of interest or a monopoly? DOJ knocking on their doors?
Oh, I don't know that it'd be a I still think, you know, TBS will, you know, the TNT packages will still have their games. I don't think that they'll be exclusive with the leagues, but I do think their model will lend itself to, you know, again, being able to have that partnership. And who knows, you know, TBS and TNT, you know, the Foxes of the world, maybe they step up and have a similar conversation as part of their league rights deal. You know, it's a monkey see, monkey do world. If one does it, then someone else has got to at least
try
it, yeah, and see how they can do it. And maybe, you know, again, and like you said, you know, ESPN and Fox and, you know, CBS and NBC all kind of have a, you know, a stream component that maybe they can, you know, kick into it. But, you know, I don't see an all exclusive, you know, partnership where everything goes there. But you know, I do think it's viable and a conversation that is going to need to be explored for, you know, long term survival.
Well, just so people get an idea of the cable numbers and why ESPN is still reluctant. So 10 years ago, they had 100 million. Cable subscribers. Now they're down to 74 million. So they're still a pretty formidable force, really. If you look at it, the only thing that concerns me is that, are they missing out on, you know, the innovation side, technology side of things when it comes to streaming? Because every time you move something from cable to streaming, there's a huge adjustment that has to happen. And like, let's say, for example, Amazon's one of the biggest technology companies in the world, but they still use NBC to stream their Thursday night games. So they're pretty much white labeling NBC stream. So it just goes to show you that there's a lot more involved than what we think and see. Even these big companies who have changed the world with the cloud and the e-commerce and so on and so on, Even they struggle. So I think it just worries me that they're going to have to somehow fill that gap and catch up. But that's their problem.
All right. Well, yeah. It again, there's a lot to keep our eye on as it relates to this, and certainly as those negotiations start to pick up, I'm sure we'll have. It's a topic we will come back to and see if, you know, we were right or whether we were wrong, you know?
Absolutely. The ever-changing world of sport, I mean, it never seems to fight to entertain us. We are pretty much at the end now. And as we do at the end of every single show, I hand it over to you, Rob, for some words of wisdom.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's as much, you know, words of wisdom, but you know, we've got hard to believe that we're coming to the month of August. We've got NFL training camps kicking off. We've got trading deadline for Major League Baseball. You know, Shohei Ohtani is going to stay with the Angels for the rest of the year. They're going to roll the dice. He did something spectacular yesterday, throwing a shutout in the first game, hitting two home runs in the second game. You know, again, just, you know, we're talking about GOAT performances. I mean, there's a guy that's playing at a whole different level as at the plate and on the mound. You know, their team is still, you know, woefully. Baseball's version of Messi is playing in Los Angeles right now, and he can't dig his team out of the cellar. You know, look, we've got college football, on, you know, on the cusp. We've got the NFL, you know, fast approaching. You know, so for us to have been able to cover, you know, what's happening in MLS, you know, what's happening in Major League Baseball, what's happening, you know, around, you know, some of the other world of sport, the PIF making their overtures towards the Open Championship. Many of the themes that we've been talking about will continue to evolve here over the the weeks and months ahead. So, my friend, I look forward to our future conversations. Know that I will we will continue to have fun watching Lionel Messi make news, and again, look forward to our conversations in the weeks ahead as this great business and the world of sport provides us with not only some great topics, but in some cases, some really intriguing and interesting business matters that are going to evolve.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. That's episode 31. All done, dusted, and finished. Thank you very much, Rob. Take care, everyone. We'll catch you all next week.
Take care.